Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
If you want to bring coziness into your life, you turn to Barefoot Dreams. Now celebrating 30 years of coziness, Barefoot Dreams is the originator of everyone's favorite Luxe Home blanket. There's a reason why Barefoot Dreams has been on Oprah's Favorite Things list 6 times. Dressing head to toe in Barefoot Dreams is the key to comfort, as its ultra-soft robes, loungewear, and accessories are each made with premium materials. Get 15% off your first purchase at barefootdreams.com with the code PODCAST15.
Welcome back to the Goons Podcast, the world's not only podcast where everybody can't do a backflip.
Not only.
What's the word for not only?
Can we dissect that a little bit? The world's not only podcast.
Just podcast where all of us can't do a backflip. What's the word for not only?
I can do a backflip on a trampoline.
What's the word for not only?
Okay, wait. Dude, can you do a backflip on a trampoline?
I've never tried.
I bet you could. I bet.
What?
Wow. I feel like if you jumped on a trampoline, you just float up into the atmosphere.
I'd never come back down.
Have you never jumped on a trampoline?
I have, but I've never tried to backflip.
You could do it.
He can't do it windy days or he's gone. He's never coming back.
I am a very light man, so that's a very dangerous activity for me.
White man, be like.
No, light man.
Float away.
Trampoline dangerous.
White man culture being scared of a trampoline.
Do you guys know what's blue and not heavy?
The blues.
Light blue. Alright, first question.
What? What do I do with that? I don't
know.
You tell that to a middle-aged dad and watch him just lose his mind over how funny that is.
Yeah, that was a very dad joke, you're right.
Shut up.
Dad hemorrhoid.
Rude.
All right, Nancy, tell the people listening what you got in the mail.
Okay. Somebody by... Hold on. What is their name? Hold on.
This was sent by...
Gandhi. Yeah. Gandhi sent us a letter.
A long fart over that.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways, this was sent in by a person on our email a couple weeks ago. To be unnamed, and they sent us a very professional list of questions that have like categories. They're color coded.
They're a lawyer.
It has
a
logo.
They gotta be a lawyer.
Yeah, 100%.
There's links. There's links on the thing.
Like from Legend of Zelda?
Source links.
No.
Excited as sources, dude. Is it MLA format?
Yeah. How's his bibliography look?
I don't know what that means.
Oh, my God.
Of course you don't.
Of course you do.
I dropped out of high school, okay? I don't know words.
It's the part at the end of an essay where you cite your fucking source. Anyway, questions.
Yeah, they're there. They're there. And you can click on them. They're like hyperlinked, too. They're blue. You can click on them. So their first question is, would you be friends with yourself? A fun exercise in introspection. So if you had a clone of yourself, would you be friends with it?
I'd probably fuck it.
Okay, that's...
So you'd be lovers with it, not friends.
Yeah, take a whole new meaning to fucking yourself. Go fuck yourself.
I don't know if I'd fuck myself, because I have some pretty mean doo-doos, so I literally know what comes out of this ass, and I don't want any part of that.
Pretty mean doo-doos.
I like that he asked about friendship, and we immediately took the route of fucking our own ass.
And but I mean, like, I might jerk myself off because, like, that's the same as masturbating.
This is more of like a would you enjoy your own personality kind of thing, not would you enjoy the feeling of your own asshole on your penis.
If you had a clone and you jerked it off, would it be homosexual or would it just be masturbation?
No, you jerk yourself off.
This isn't a question. You're asking a whole different question.
No, this is a question that needs answering.
You're basically jerking yourself off anyway, so that's what I was saying, is like, it's not gay to jerk yourself off.
But is it gay to suck your own dick?
Well, if we didn't have these upper ribs, we'd all be doing it, so...
Would we, though? Would you want to blow a load in your own face? Like, I don't...
Well, I'd pull out. How's your pullout game? Bad?
Pull out.
How's your pullout game on yourself?
I got my mouth pregnant.
I think it will be gay because when you create a clone of yourself, that person's not that thing, that yourself. It's not continuing the match. It becomes its own person. That person's going to experience its own life. It's not just going to copy whatever's in your brain all the time.
Yeah, but it knows that it's you. Like, even if it does become its own thing, it knows that it's you. So, like, it ain't gay.
Can we get a scientist on the show to
answer this? Let me change a parameter to make it so this question isn't about if could you fuck yourself. Okay. Would you be friends with yourself if there was another person that was exactly like you, but they look different?
I hate myself.
Literally exactly fucking like you. Like personality, they have all the same traits as you. They like the same shit as you. Same, like they just don't look like you. Would you be friends with that person?
Probably not, but like it's because I have found for me personally, the people I like get along the best with are like the exact opposite with me. Like
opposites attract, yeah.
Yeah, somebody who likes exactly everything you like, the fuck do you like talk about? Because you probably do everything together. It's not like there's
you're gonna agree
there's no
on
variation.
Everything
yeah.
And yeah, you can never
you
have,
don't
like,
even
a
have
discussion
to like yeah, there's no like learning about that person's personality. You just know. You just like get in a car with them and just drive to your favorite restaurant and then you don't even have to ask anything. They just get the same food as you. Like it would just be like boring.
Yeah, it'd be boring as fuck. So yeah, no, I probably would not be friends with myself.
I wouldn't be friends with myself either.
I think you could be friends with them, but they probably wouldn't be great to hang out with all the
time. Yeah. Right. No, you wouldn't be best friends.
Which is kind of like, weird to think about.
You would want to hang out with them when there was like something that you like that a lot of other people wouldn't really like, then you can like do that with them, you know?
Right, yeah. Like if you wanted to like go do something and no one else could go, then maybe.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like they'd be like that backup friend when everyone's busy and you're like, all right, Dale's coming. Like you just, you know, that guy.
Dale.
How fucking dare you?
Oh, that was a little good intro there.
But anyway, it's not fucking gay, right?
Oh my God.
No, it's not. It's really not, because
I think it is.
It's you. And
if you're putting a penis in your mouth, it's gay. Sorry to tell you.
Wait, what if I was flexible enough to suck my own penis? I'm gay.
If you were what?
Flexible enough to suck my own penis.
That's gay.
Says who? show me
the Carfax.
Show me the Carfax. Yeah.
God, I was gonna make a joke there, but I'm not gonna make a joke there. Let's move on to the next question.
I know what you were gonna say. Let's move on.
I feel like holding a man's hand is gayer than kissing a man.
Yeah, because like you can kiss a man and it can kind of be like, yeah, that was funny. But like if you're holding hands, dude, like
there ain't nothing to joke about. Hardcore homosexuality.
Like, dude, I mean, if you stick your dick in his butt for like a tenth of a second, you're like, I got you. But if you're holding hands
for a second.
Yeah, if you're holding hands, that's a little too far. Little rim job butt fucking action for me.
Little rim job for the boys.
Little rim job for the boys. I noticed he was a little stressed.
Little rim job on the beat.
You got a lot of finals going on. So that's not
a little stressed. Just a little quick little rimmy.
All right. Question number two. Are beards the male equivalent of makeup?
Absolutely.
I don't think so.
No?
Yes.
Because you don't have to put on a beard every day.
Yeah, but like,
it's about how fundamentally it changes your look, though. Like,
yeah, like men can go from ugly to attractive with a beard.
Yeah,
yeah. If you have like a baby face and you grow a beard, that's like a whole nother realm of look.
Women can kind of do they can do the exact same thing. I think it's more extreme, like makeup wise, because dude, people that put on makeup, you can look at them and you won't even like recognize them if you see them without makeup sometimes.
Yeah.
But I guess with a beard, I mean, it's kind of the same way. But
it is the same way.
It's
the
same way.
You've seen people using this,
yeah, that's true.
This beardless filter on TikTok or whatever?
No.
Beardless?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, there's some filter that people have been using on TikTok where it shows you without a beard and people look like different humans. Very different.
Yeah.
You think having head hair is the same as butt hair?
How?
No.
In what
state your premise for this argument?
That word's big.
My butt hairline is receding.
It's like six letters.
I need a hair transplant on my ass. Hey, Bosley.
Buttley. Sorry. Not funny. Didn't laugh.
I don't know where to go with that question. I've been up, there's like I've a yes or no.
It's kind of like a yes or no question. Yeah,
yeah, it's almost like a yes or no. Cause I don't know.
I feel like these questions don't have to be on person to person.
Are we doing speed rounds? But I don't know. I feel like that one depends person to person. Cause like I look the fucking same with or without a beard. I just leave it cause shaving constantly is annoying. Yeah. But I don't know. There's people with thick ass fucking beards that look like
thick ass. Know.
Okay. Well, it really depends on your hair too.
Some people's beards are really like nice and all the hairs all go the same way, and then some people's beards are like just like all wiry and yeah,
creepy.
So yeah, it is person to person.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number three: Do emojis add to or take away from expression in conversations?
I fucking hate emojis, dude.
Really?
I use them all the time. Fucking emojis.
I just use them to be ironic most of the time. If I'm like trying
I don't use emojis with dude friends. Like I would never be in a conversation with you guys and send you like, you know, like a little tongue out emoji.
I would actually prefer if you did. I would prefer if you did do that, McNasty.
Why?
I would like a tongue emoji from you.
I guess throw one in every once in a while just to spice things up.
Tongue me.
Emojis are like I don't know how to put my finger on how I feel about emojis. But
I personally like emoticons, which is like the old style, like before emojis.
You boomer.
Like with the colon slash when you're
those ones on MSN and they'd like fucking have a little gif. Did you guys use MSN Messenger when you were little? Really?
No.
I used AOL.
No one did? Yeah, oh my god.
I used AOL.
Dude, I don't know if they had it on AOL. But everyone on MSN, there was this little alien that had like a sword, like a lightsaber, and he'd push it forward and like twist it. And everyone's like go-to thing would be to put like the sheep or dog emoji in front of it and then just get his little ass stretched by an alien with a sword. Dude, MSN Messenger was just its own breed. What's the question? Oh yeah, emojis.
Does it add to or take away from expression?
Dude, fuck emojis. They make me feel awkward. Like I can't have someone send me like a laughing face emoji because like I just.
Oh yeah, no, it's just.
Laughing's not so bad because it's like ha laughing. But like if you're gonna send like the emoji where it's like oh covering the mouth like oh I shouldn't have said that oh tee. Like that's kind of weird to send.
I feel like that's more of a female thing anyway. I think
I hate emojis women use those more than dudes do. Fucking much.
But the question is do you hate emojis? It's do you think that emojis add to or take away from
expression? They take away. Because well, because I want to kill myself after I see it.
I disagree. I don't know. The only emoji I use is like a happy face. And it's like with a sentence that could be like perceived as like I don't know what the right word, but like, I don't know. It just helps.
Like sarcastic happy faces?
Yeah, like a just like using a happy face in like, I don't know, an email or a certain context where like, it might sound almost like a rude sentence.
Just
by the way you're typing it, but that's the only way to type it. So you kind of have to be like, yeah, no, happy face. Like it's not, you know, it's all good.
Yeah, I know. Dude, what you're saying.
I'm not mad is a good example.
Old people will send the like, wrong emojis though and make it like awkward.
Like my friend died and it's a crying emoji. Or it's
right. Like they use it in such the wrong context. Like, dude, there's this adult in my life that is like
I'm so like sorry.
Not he's not of any relation to me, but he is like someone that is in my life. Uh-huh. And just like, I don't want to get a winking face from a middle-aged man.
Nah.
Like, I
just, yeah, that's weird.
They just don't understand it.
Like, I know
that.
He doesn't like mean it in that intention, but like, please. I don't like how it makes my pecker feel.
That sounds like a you
issue. That changes the whole perception.
Yeah, that
adds to the conversation.
That goes from not liking emojis to now being scared of being gay.
No, it just makes me send emojis
all the time, man.
It makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, that's fair. If like a 45-year-old man just winked at me in public, but I'd probably be uncomfortable.
Yeah, so. you have to look at it as in like, yeah, he definitely doesn't mean it that way, but it just like, ugh.
People who grew up without like the internet and stuff, they don't understand like the way that those faces work.
No, they absolutely don't. They just scroll and find like a little cute one. They're like, ooh, an umbrella
they
emoji.
They don't see that winking face as like, hey, I'm trying to fucking stick my dick in your ass.
Okay, well, most people don't think that, Nasty, but it's not my go-to thought.
Yeah, but that's kind of the, that's almost like the feeling behind it.
Oh, you're like tiptoeing around wanting to do rough anal with someone every time you send them a winky face?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. I have given people the wrong impression for a long time.
I have some apologies to make.
Text everyone you've ever sent a winky face to and be like, I did not want to do rough anal with you. Just out of nowhere.
Oh, God. McNasty, do we have more questions on that?
Yeah, we have a shit ton of questions. Really? This next one, God. I'm not exactly sure what it means. It says, is content creation a high or low barrier to entry industry?
Oh, I see what that means.
Oh.
Well, wait, what industry did they say?
Content creation. Making videos, what we do. Literally our job.
I'm assuming it means, like, is it hard to get into? Is there a high or low barrier to
enter
the industry?
What do you mean? But like, what does he mean by get into? Like, make a career or just do
like
it?
Like, actually...
Making it a job, I guess.
Making it
like,
a job.
The only real barrier to, I mean, specifically gaming YouTube, is a computer and a microphone. That's really the only actual barrier.
Just
the rest
basic
is
startup. Yeah.
Yeah. The rest is all like a mental barrier, if, you know, because a lot of people give up after 6 months or, you know, whatever the fuck it is, or they go in it for the money or something. I feel like most YouTube related barriers, unless you upload super fucked content that YouTube just won't push, is. I feel like it's mostly just a mental barrier than an actual, like, can't do it kind of thing.
I feel like every YouTuber, actually, I don't really know about Soup. I feel like Soup did never have to experience this boundary, but I feel like every YouTuber kind of goes through that feeling of, like, initial insecurity when they first start, like, talking to other YouTubers and, like, playing with them. And they're just, like, you're afraid to make jokes because you think you're going to get, like, judged.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely did when I first started, but, like, I started way, way before.
That's
pretty
why
sure
I feel like
it,
you didn't
else.
Really have that, is because you just kind of like started on your own and you were just like always kind of wild.
Well, I got
wild.
All the shit for being like the kid of the time, like from everyone. So like I just dealt with like getting picked on for being young and Southern, and then I just used it to my advantage. So,
Well, that's good.
Exactly what Grizzy did, because Grizzy was young except his wheeze. Everyone made fun of his laugh and how he was like 16, 17 when we used to make videos, but obviously like when Fitz heard his wheeze, he fucking loved it. So that's kind of
so
what
you have something like
up.
That that's like already something that's interesting about you without you having to try. That's a good like.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
If you want to bring coziness into your life, you turn to Barefoot Dreams. Now celebrating 30 years of coziness, Barefoot Dreams is the originator of everyone's favorite Luxe Home blanket. There's a reason why Barefoot Dreams has been on Oprah's favorite things list 6 times. Dressing head to toe in Barefoot Dreams is the key to comfort, as its ultra-soft robes, loungewear, and accessories are each made with premium materials. Get 15% off your first purchase at barefootdreams.com with the code PODCAST15.
A way to make you feel comfortable in a situation.
Everybody has something that's unique to them that's interesting.
For the most part.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's like
boring
people. Yeah, there's some stick in the mud motherfuckers.
There are some pretty boring people that try and do it. It's like you got to have a little
part, though.
You got to have a little bit of personality and like you got to be yourself.
I think the worst is like for streaming. I always fucking see it. I'll go into streams where they have like 0 or 1 viewers just to see like what's going on new Twitch. Mm-hmm. And they just won't even talk. And, like, every time I talk to a small streamer, they're just like, oh, nobody's in here. Why would I talk?
Who are they going to talk to?
Yeah, but, like, Bro, it's like commentating. Like, act like you're recording a video. So then when somebody does come in, it's not just fucking crickets. And you're actually talking and, like, interacting with the game and stuff. Because, like, you go into somebody's stream, they're like, oh, nobody's here. I'm not going to bother talking. And you just, you're like, and, like, keyboard clicks as they play their fucking game. Like, it's so boring. Like, what the fuck? Who would watch this?
Yeah. Yeah, and then you can get big like someone on Twitch and then just do that when you get big.
Yeah, exactly.
No, sleep on stream, yeah, just snore, fart.
Or Shroud, who's like, all he says is like, yeah, every 5 minutes or something. Like, it's just, yeah, I don't know.
Well, the thing is, YouTube streamers like that, they had an audience before they started streaming. I don't think Shroud started on stream.
Well, he had an audience. He started streaming. He streamed on Justin TV. But he was a CS pro.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm saying, like, he didn't gain his audience from strictly streaming.
Yeah, well, either way, you're still going to have to go through that
awkward learning curve of not many people being there and just having to figure out what the fuck you're doing. And
even
not
if
being
you
awkward.
Start with 1,000 viewers, you still got to learn how to, like, communicate and be entertaining. Like, just because you have the viewership doesn't mean that you're going to be entertaining and maintain it.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why, like, shoutouts and stuff like that don't work. Like, people who get their channel, either Twitch or, like, YouTube, you know, they get a shout out from someone. It's like their channel will do great for like a month. But if you don't adjust to it and actually learn how to make the content and be entertaining, it's like, right. it's going to do right. nothing. Like being that's carried. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
That's kind of pretty much what happened with my channel with like the Ainsley thing. Like I could have easily did that, started uploading my own shit and just complete boring and like barely saying anything. And I wouldn't have grown from it.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to capitalize on the opportunity that it's given to you. Like Jacksepticeye, his entire fucking channel is based off of a shout out he got from PewDiePie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he was entertaining. People enjoyed watching him. And that's how he kept growing. If he was a boring motherfucker that didn't, you know, he did like shitty content, nobody would want to stick around.
Yeah, I think that's the thing a lot of people don't understand. They're just like, oh, like if I could ever just play with like Fitz once, you know, I'd fucking blow up. It's like you might get subs, but like getting a shout out or like, you know, just being around someone does not get you views at all. Mm-hmm. Like I can attest to that. When Fitz used to invite me and I was too nervous to say anything in his videos, like in like 2018, 19, I got subs from it, but nobody would fucking watch my videos from it. You still have to like do the work. I mean, we got off topic, but that's just good advice. That's good advice in general.
That's true though. I mean, you have to just make videos and be yourself and upload good content consistently, really, to get a following.
Yeah.
But it's not easy to get to that point either. Like, just because you can literally take like one of our videos, copy it word for word, and do like the exact same thumbnail and title, tags, everything, and it still won't do as good as like one of ours by itself. Like,
right.
Just because, even if it's just like copy pasted, it doesn't mean that it's going to perform well.
No matter what YouTuber you look at, they'll all tell you that there's a little bit of luck involved. None of us are here based on our own merit. Yeah, like there's definitely a luck element that all of us have had to go through.
And I would say network, too. Making friends is super important.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah. The hardest part about making friends, though, is like you always get this fear that you're going to try and make friends with somebody and they're just going to think you want to use them for views.
That's the double-edged sword of YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Sorry,
I'm still using you, motherfucker. Still, I'm using the fuck out of y'all.
I haven't, like, you know what's weird is I haven't really ever gotten that fear. Like, I feel like I've always been one of the group that's really, like, tried to reach out to new people and constantly try and, like, I don't really do that much anymore.
Me all the fucking time before we were friends, you would invite me to every fucking session. I was like, I don't know why he's inviting me.
Yeah, because I remember that you were, like, you were part of the offensive jokes, and I wanted to bring people around that were, like, comfortable in that situation. And I had played with so many people that, like, I'd make a joke like that and they'd be like, oh, like you shouldn't say that, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, same.
And you're just like, you crashed the plane into the tower. Fuck yeah, dude.
he's a keeper. I like this one.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Like, I know I've said it before, but whenever I first started playing with, like, I don't even know if McNasty and Blarg were around. Like when
I wasn't for, like, the first few times you guys played Siege.
Yeah, like, when I first started playing Siege, it was, like, me and I didn't even really know Do. Like, I never spoke to him, and he invites me, and I'm like, dude, it's going to be so quick that these fuckers are going to be like, do not invite Soup again, because I just knew it was coming. I was like, these guys are going to, he's going to regret inviting me.
No, I had invited you to one other collab thing in the past. I think you did the open lobby like Cisco guess the song thing. Yeah, that I used to do. And I liked you from that. I was like, yeah, he's good people. He's good energy. He's a funny guy. So.
Now look at this.
Bet you fucking regret that one, don't you?
Oh, yeah, no. Worst decision ever, right? Complete misinterpretation of your personality.
But what you were saying earlier, McNasty, about like the friend thing, about people like worried about that they're going to be like using you or whatever. Yeah. I feel like that's why it's good to make friends like super fucking early on. Like I started reaching out to other YouTubers that were around my size at like 100 subs. And without doing that, I don't think I ever would have like stuck around long enough with my channel to, you know, get to this point. So I feel, I don't know. I feel like people need to be less scared to reach out to other content creators around their size. Cause like chances are they also want to collab, but they're also like, too scared to do it. You know,
if you have 500 subs and you're hitting up somebody with like 4 million subs, yeah, that makes sense.
But like,
you
know, that's a bit of a stretch.
You can network around your, you know, if you meet somebody that's in the YouTube community and they have a friend group, and you know, all their friends are kind of like a mix of subs or whatever, then you interact with them. And then, you know, you, one of them, like with me in my situation, one of the first YouTubers I ever met was Rack, and Rack had like 30K subs. I had like 19K and then Rack just blew up out of nowhere. And like naturally with him, I kind of like grew because I was in his videos and stuff. And then once I took the switch to Siege because of like Jay and I think
Tox
Prios was there. Like I took a little bit of a jump to Siege. Yeah. And then that's how I met you guys, because I met Kugo and he played Siege, and then he introduced me to Do, and then Soup.
No, when you started inviting me, I was still at like probably like 3K subs. You were at like 50K. Because I remember when you first hit me up, I was like, "Damn, this guy's channel is fucking huge." Like, God, this is fucking sick.
The first like YouTube friend group that I ever met, it was like MW2 days.
Oh my and God. I was looking, OG.
I was looking for people to play with. So I typed in like Modern Warfare 2, like funny or something on YouTube like that.
Yeah.
And I went to the fifth page of videos and I saw like some guy that had like a troll face in his thumbnail or something like that.
That's
and
I was like,
I was like, this is the one right here. So I found his gamer tag and I like sent him a message or something like that. And then I just went to his profile and literally fucking joined his Xbox Live party with his friends just randomly, no invitation. Like imagine you're in a Discord call now and somebody just joins that you have no idea who they are and they just start talking. That is how I made my first YouTube friend.
They didn't like kick you, they were okay with it. They're just like, yeah, what's up, bro?
Yeah, it was like, you want to play some games? Sure.
Dude, old Xbox was not only like the most toxic thing ever, but it was the most friendliest. Like people were just down to play with whoever.
Yeah. People weren't egotistical like they are now. Like, get the fuck out of here, bitch. Where's your clout? It was like I had been there all day. Just like, you want to play some games, man?
Sure.
Do you guys still have any Xbox friends from like back in the day that you ever like keep in touch with?
No.
No, there's, not really.
There's a dude named Zero. I met him on what was the second zombie map?
That was such
map?
A common Xbox name.
Yeah, it was.
I've known so many people named
like,
Zero.
And he has like Zero 10 zeros Reaper after. Yeah. But yeah, I met him on the second DLC map for World at War Zombies. And we played together so fucking much. And every like 6 months, he'll just randomly shoot me a message and be like, hey man, watched your last video, really enjoyed it. Just out of nowhere. Like, thanks, dude. It's oddly wholesome. But yeah, it's probably, that has been, God, probably almost like 10 years now.
That's crazy.
Kept in touch somewhat with I met on COD Zombies.
I don't even remember any of like the people that I played with on Xbox days.
Really?
I would just like randomly play with a group and then like they'd either find me funny or I'd find them funny or we'd all be like good together. And then we'd play for like a year or something and then like, we would just, like, disband. Like, people would just stop playing Xbox.
Some of those people were so fucking cool, though. Like, I made a friend, like, my first day on from, like, New Jersey. And I added him on, like, Facebook. And we'd just, like, keep up with his personal life. We just play Call of Duty together. It's so weird.
That is so bizarre.
You ever meet somebody on on Xbox that, like, lives in the same town as you?
No.
Really? Mm-hmm. Like, people would have... that happened to me all the time, because people would always put my area code in their like gamer tag and I'd be like, hey, are you from here? And they'd be like, yeah, fuck you. And I'd be like, dude, I live like three streets away from you. And then we end up like having sex.
And then he calls the cops and then kills you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never had that happen, but I live in a town of like 30,000
That's happened to me on
people,
RuneScape
so.
Before.
Really?
I've literally met
really?
People.
Why yeah, because area code. Oh, they had theirs. Okay.
They, yeah, for some reason, people in this area code are like prideful of this area fucking for some reason, even though it's full of gang members
really?
And shit.
I was going to say, because you're like, it's not like you're in like the Bay or anything.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's just like, but yeah, a lot of people, I've seen it so many times, like on many different occasions. I've seen people in my Twitch chat in like the past month who have the area code in their name.
You should ask where their house
is. That is bizarre.
Bring them a shoe or something.
Well, I'm not going to do that on fucking live streaming. I'm just going to give away my town.
Well, you've given away your phone number, so, you know, what's
yeah, the one guy, and then I immediately changed my number.
We all know you live in Monkey Town, USA.
That's why I constantly blurt my own town. I'm proud of Monkey Town, USA.
Yourself 24/7.
Monkey Town, USA.
People don't believe it's real, but, you know.
We should get angry in games and then read out our full street address.
That is an awful idea.
Just shout our social security number.
That's it. I'm shouting out the three numbers on the back of my credit card. I'm angry.
Okay, next question.
I was going to ask really quick. I doubt any of you.
What's your credit card number?
Now, have you guys had a fan find your house or anything at any point?
No.
Really? Oh, dude, you guys are fucking lucky. I had one when I was still a small ass YouTuber. I was at like 30K. I don't know if I've told this story, but they left a note about like how they watch videos and like jerk off and pet their cat while they watch my video.
What
and I was
the just, fuck?
What?
Yeah. Well,
dude, one time there was this fan. The one time there was this fan on my ceiling, and okay. I was like,
all right, all right, next question.
I got a fan on my floor right now.
Next question. I'm on my desk.
Hey, you all right? He's not responding. Next question.
I
have to poot. Oh, it was quiet. Why?
Why?
Madly disappointing.
It was.
Why
compared
was
to
it
my
quiet?
Burps, that was... I wish I could do with my butthole what I do with my burps.
I was going to say, can you just put it in your butthole and fart?
Take that
next
out
question.
Of context.
Next question.
Do you think that physical currency, parentheses, the infamous Looney Toonie, perhaps, is necessary anymore? Would society be better without it? Physical currency.
I feel like none of us are
how
really...
How much you going to pay for your cocaine and hookers? I ain't going to take no goddamn Bitcoin.
Yeah. How am I going to stash all my money that I don't pay taxes on in my mattress?
I wouldn't trust swiping my card on a square inside of a phone with a drug dealer.
Yeah.
Well, dude, ain't no fucking cocaine dealer gonna take Bitcoin. So.
Okay. Well, yeah.
I helped a drug dealer one time, dude.
That you are admitting to
him. Blurting that out.
Why are you yelling this in a car?
Are you admitting to a crime right now?
He was using like fucking PayPal to get money for weed, and I was like, dude, you know, like if you get up to a certain amount, that's gonna get reported to the IRS, right? And he just like froze and looked at me. Like, you dumb motherfucker. Why are you taking PayPal for drugs, dude? Like,
why are you helping a drug
dealer? So you helped him do tax evasion off drug sales.
I guess I fucking did. But I didn't think of the broader fucking debt to society that I was doing. I was just like, you know,
that
gets taxed.
There are any cops listening to this?
Yeah.
I
wasn't buying drugs. I wasn't the one buying. I'm actually
a
drug
dealer. Competitor.
Yeah, it was me. I was using PayPal.
I just woke up and realized how dumb I was being.
No, but I was watching a drug deal and I was just like, no way this guy's actually using PayPal. Let me be a good friend and help this man out.
All right, we're getting closer. We're narrowing in.
He had one of those credit card swipe attachments.
Oh, shit. Anyway, what was the questions about physical currency?
Cashless
I don't
society,
think
society.
Any of us should be qualified to answer this, so we should not answer this.
Yeah, this is like an Elon Musk kind of question.
Well, I qualify for life insurance, so...
I'm proud of you.
I don't... What? You're...
I recently got a disability insurance as well. That was pretty exciting. Pretty happy about
that. They found out what you do for a living.
They just started paying me now, and they were like, oh, he's already disabled.
He's got to be disabled to pump out content like this, so...
Dude, part of me would love to not have cash anymore because, like, I don't even carry cash that often. I just use my
credit card. I never carry cash.
But, like, dude, another part of me is like, the banks are going to crash and the Aztecs are going to make aliens out of the fucking Play-Doh and then the world's going to get annihilated by a laser and what's going to happen if all your money's in the bank? And fuck my ass.
Well, if the world's going to get annihilated by
there's no ATMs in space on Mars.
If the world's going to get blown up by a laser, money doesn't mean anything.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
I do.
No.
If today an alien fucking nay-nayed on the White House and all of society collapsed.
Like currency wouldn't matter at that point. Currency would be water probably, not actually.
What if the aliens took over and they said, all of the banks are gone and all the cash inside the banks are now ours?
What are they, Mexican robots? Listen here, I say all of the banks are gone.
I said they were illegal aliens, McNasty. I don't get what you don't fucking understand.
Oh, they're not even like from space. They're just a bunch of Mexicans taking over the White House.
No, but for real, dude, like, the FDIC only insures up to like $100,000, dude. And what if you have more than that in the bank and then the bank fucking...
That's why I only really trust like massive national banks.
Yeah.
But I mean, even in like 2008, no bank had any like serious repercussions for, you know, any of that. And that was a pretty fucking insane crash. So I think you're okay. And if it's the thing is, if it's to a point where like major banks have gone under and you've lost all your money, everyone else also has, and the economy, assuming, would reflect that. I think the price of everything would be completely fucked and go down. So I don't know. I obviously don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I think the chance of that happening is probably.
And by that point, things are probably so shit fuck broken that currency is no longer even matter. So we're just throwing shit on the street and eating rats off porches. I don't know. I don't know what happens in apocalypse.
Some of us don't do that anyway.
Okay, next question.
All right. Why do you think countries with the highest quality of life, i.e., Finland, Norway, Denmark, etc., have the highest rates or have high rates of suicide?
Who the fuck wants to live there?
What are we supposed to do with this? There could be so many different factors, but I would guess it's probably because it's cold and dark all the fucking time.
Yeah, true.
What makes you feel better than like a sunny day? Like vitamin D.
A blowjob.
Helps. Oh. Okay, that's fair. You know what? Suicide rates just turned zero. McNasty solved suicide. Everybody just give blowjobs and get blowjobs.
Yes.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's my input.
That is better than sunlight, I suppose.
Yeah.
Blowjobs outside.
Blowjobs.
Blowjobs in the sunlight.
If the government cared about the people of Finland, everyone gets a free blowjob tonight.
That's right. Stimulus blowjobs. Make that happen, Joe.
Stimulus blowjob. I need a stimmy job right now.
Stim job.
Steve Jobs.
Tim
is no longer living.
I need a Steve job right now. Well, I don't think we're qualified to answer this question, so we should probably skip it.
A lot of the questions, the next questions are like
things we aren't qualified for.
No, they're questions that are specific to one of us.
Okay,
read
that's
them
fine.
Out, goddamn it.
This one's for Do. Being someone so comfortable with the ongoing jokes about questioning his sexuality, does he feel he is more or less secure in his self-determined preferences by virtue of being comfortable with these jokes?
Did Einstein ask? What the fuck?
Wait, dude, this guy is definitely like an English major.
There's no way this guy watches
off.
Our videos with that intelligence.
According to my research, those PPR bots matter to you in the grand stream of astrological fuel cells divided by nuclear technology.
Somebody had their like Harvard grandpa rewrite these questions for him.
Do you feel like you're more or less secure? Do you feel like you're more or less secure in your self-determined preferences?
Do you feel more straight than us because we call you gay man?
What? I was straight before I met you, and I'm straight now.
That doesn't sound very secure. That tone of voice. is off.
I'm straight for me, and I'm straight. No,
So no, I have not considered pegging a dude because they talk about me pegging dudes. That's all not the question. Time. What the hell is the question?
We all know you peg dudes. That's not the question.
All right. I mean,
do you feel like because you have been the butt of these jokes, do you feel like you're more or less secure now?
The dude butt of the joke.
More secure. I couldn't care less. My comment section is full of people asking if I'm legitimately gay, and I couldn't care less. My mom will read my comment section sometimes. She's like, why are all these people asking if you're gay?
Does Duber sound like that?
Can you sound like the chicken from
I got some sweet tea for you. Some macaroon cookies.
Hey, too, I made some chitlins and gravy.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Fuck yeah.
I feel like that's just an in general thing, though. People who, like, can laugh about their, like, sexuality are usually more comfortable with it.
Yeah,
100%. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, if you're actually threatened, like, oh, no, I'm not gay. Well, yeah. No.
Dude, there's...
I like that at all.
You probably like pick up the butt.
Yeah, one of my friend's brothers was like that. We'd be like, we'd be sitting there and we'd just try to piss him off because he'd get so like uptight about it. We'd just be sitting on the couch, be like, Jake, move over, I'm gonna suck your cock. He'd be like, bro, what the fuck? I'm not fucking gay, don't do that.
Just, oh, he's gay as hell.
Dude, he'd get so scared. It's so funny. I love doing it.
Like you're
so
actually
happy.
Just gonna lean like, over and start blowing
just
him.
Blow his dick on the couch. Like he just gets so scared. It's so fucking funny. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like if you can't be like, yeah, I'll suck a homie's dick, like as a joke, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, not confident in it, and that's okay.
Cock.
Cocky meows. I am the kicking beals and torture me.
Okay.
This one is for me and you, dude. This is, do Du or McNasty still have a genuine fear of face revealing or a preference to maintain anonymity? Or have they perhaps realized financial and social media benefits of being mysterious? How much of their success do they think is based on the ability of the audience to imagine them fulfilling their own subjective.
Holy shit, dude. Am I taking an SAT right now?
Dude, what the fuck?
I'm just reading it out. This is kind of a two-part question. Okay, this is a two-part question. Do you still have a genuine fear of face revealing or prefer to maintain or preference to maintain being anonymous?
It's not a fear. It's just a preference for anonymity. I prefer not being... Like, well, I've heard horror stories of like people being stalked. I don't think that would like really happen that much, but still, I just prefer to be anonymous. And the channel's not like about my face; it's just about me as a person and music and fun times and whatever.
Well, I feel like the Omegle could totally have your face in it, but you do so well enough without it. It's like, why do you need it?
Yeah. For me, it's like it's not broke, so don't fix it. Really, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
If you want to bring coziness into your life, you turn to Barefoot Dreams. Now celebrating 30 years of coziness, Barefoot Dreams is the originator of everyone's favorite luxe home blanket. There's a reason why Barefoot Dreams has been on Oprah's favorite things list 6 times. Dressing head to toe in Barefoot Dreams is the key to comfort, as its ultra-soft robes, loungewear, and accessories are each made with premium materials. Get 15% off your first purchase at barefootdreams.com with the code PODCAST15.
What about you?
I feel the same way. My channel wouldn't benefit from my face being shown at all anyways.
Yeah, the only videos would be Omegle, really. I feel like I could connect with other people on Omegle better if I did face reveal. I feel like a lot of people do skip me because usually the torso down angle is reserved for the people with their cocks out. So I think it susses people out sometimes.
You just like have your dick hanging out under your guitar.
just at the end of a solo, move your guitar and just have your erect cock.
Oh, it's kind of hot.
That would be a good meme. I'm going to do that. So, yeah, I do think that it would benefit me on Omegle, but maybe not necessarily for content creation. Well, there would be other videos, because like I've wanted to react to old privated videos, but it's kind of weird to like do a reaction video to old videos with just like your voice or just your torso, I guess. So that's something I've wanted to do, but I can't really make it work, I guess.
Yeah. You should just paint your face black.
No, that's an awful. Please don't do that. I am not being in a brand with someone who's doing that. I was going to say, though, I feel like the only thing you guys would...
Why not, Blarg?
The immediate thing that could be, like, done if you guys showed your face, I think the only thing would be the podcast, like, being able to use our faces sometimes.
Oh, true.
But even that isn't, like, that big of a deal. It would open up a little bit more content, but, like, your solo careers on their own do not need faces at all, I feel like.
I agree.
Plus, you're kind of just known as, like... just headless, dude. And as annoying as that probably is, I know it's annoying as fuck, but like just having brand identity for anything like that is good. Like,
it was tough because for the longest time, I literally had no identity until I had my U2s made. And now I have like the black question mark face and that's cool and whatever.
Yeah. Like for your thumbnails and stuff, that helped a lot.
It did.
Yeah, instead of being like Bushhead
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Bushhead thing was weird, but, what was I going to say? I was going to say
something dumb.
Yeah, it was going to be dumb.
That checks out.
Oh, I forgot.
Well, he's going to make a scary ghost noise.
That's what I wanted to do, yeah. Oh, I was going to say, I think it's actually only really helped me because a lot of people like the mystery.
So. Yeah, I was going
to
say that too.
A lot of people actually ask me not to reveal my face. I think just as many people ask me to just keep it mysterious as they do say, reveal it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And if I ever did, there's no way in hell I look like what people think I look like, so I would be judged incredibly.
No, you look pretty similar to what I think.
Yeah, I feel like you do.
Well, that's because you guys have seen it. It's easy for you guys to say
No, when I first saw your face, I was like, yeah, you kind of look like what you sound like. I mean,
I don't know if that's an insult or not, but...
No, it's not.
You just look like... It's like...
Yeah. I was extremely disappointed, because I'm just so used... I'm so used to just seeing you from behind with your ass up that seeing your face
just cold kind of bag.
Yeah, it was like a letdown kind of.
There are people out there who look completely different than they sound. Like for one instance, Raccoon Eggs.
Yeah,
he does not look like he sounds.
I expect him to be like a 6'7" black guy, and he's just like this little scrawny white kid with a lot of hair. G-fro.
Yeah. The same thing with. Have you guys seen JC the Caster's face?
No.
Yeah, he like streams his face sometimes too, and he looks nothing like how I picture him. Like some people just like it seems to always be people with deep voices, you know?
Yeah,
like people with deep voices and they end up being like 5'7" and like 110 pounds. It's odd. It's weird. You just don't like
with a deep ass.
Actually, one person with a deep voice who like fit it as perfectly as I could think was
Barry White.
No, Intrigued. He hasn't been around in a while.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's like a bigger, tall guy.
Yeah, he's pretty tall. He's jacked and, you know.
Yeah, but I'm saying like when a deep-voiced guy shows their face and they end up being like, you know, 100 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah.
It's odd.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing is dude has an upper inflection in his voice. He doesn't like, he's not like, hey, my name is the dude. And then he's like, he's just like, oh, he can like float in the wind and shit. You know?
Yeah, like a little fairy. He's like
his voice matches his face because he's not, you know, he just doesn't. You know, if you talk super deep, then it'll just be odd.
So, this is why I'm comfortable with my sexuality. That was a prime example, because I just got called a fairy.
Fair enough.
What's the question for me, dude?
Honestly, they didn't ask any questions for you. I don't know why. They did two for me, two for Dew, two for Blarg, and then none for Soup.
Well, that's one.
Oh, wait. This right here. They didn't bold your name, which is kind of, it didn't stand out. Anyway.
What
Southern, this is the Southern stereotypes. Some people say that stereotypes are rooted in unfortunate truths. Others say they are a product of entrenched misconceptions.
Fucking
to which
Christ.
Category would Soup ascribe the stereotypes people?
Yeah, what do you ascribe to?
It's a bit of both. It's a bit of both sides. Of
unfortunate truths or entrenched misconceptions?
It's I mean, he went fishing at 4 a.m. this morning, so
he did.
What's that tell you?
Both sides of that coin, boy. Tell you what.
This is why you didn't get a question. You're whistling at him.
Yeah, you're not even.
I'm saying it's both. It's true. Like, some of it is true. Some of it is like a little fucked, but it's not true. It's like a joke. Like, it's a mixture.
Yeah.
A stereotype is like a mixture kind of truth, but like, what's the word? Like, exaggeration.
Yeah. Almost. Well, to an extent. I mean, there's hyperbole. Yeah.
Like, no, I don't actually eat roadkill, but have I thought about it? Yes.
Would I do it? Yes.
You should probably have left that one in the drafts.
Yeah.
Not it.
What kind of roadkill would you want to eat, if any?
Opossum.
Deer. Opossum? Like deer. Dude, I had opossum in my garage the other day. Looked good.
I would eat, if it was like a dead deer or something, I might.
That's what about
like
dead
a dead
deer?
Cow?
Oh, well. Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I ain't gonna discriminate. It's free dinner.
I mean, typical roadkills like squirrels, rabbits.
Yeah, whatever's on that there road. Been out there cooking for a minute in the sunlight. You know what I mean? Halfway done for you. You just gotta season it up a little bit.
God cooked it for you. If God cooked it for you, you really not gonna eat it? I mean.
All natural squirrel, baby.
That's right.
As opposed to
I got a question for Blarg.
Okay.
So apparently the person that asked this question is also Arab-Canadian, because they say, being a fellow Arab-Canadian, I wonder if Blarg has experienced what many describe as a growing disillusionment within the U.S. and American culture. As a child teenager, I romanticized the U.S., and now I find myself quite happy to be on this side of the border. Can Blarg say the same?
I mean, yeah, to an extent. I'm not going to get too in-depth with it, because I'm not trying to step on any toes here. But yeah, no, I...
pussy.
I definitely
offend someone.
I'm very happy with where I am. And I think the thing that's changed the most, which I think more so came with me educating myself rather than anything, is like, I used to fucking love like American military movies. Like, I don't know. I thought they were so fucking cool and they all looked so badass. But I don't know. As I grew older and like, I don't know, kind of realized that, hey, those are countries next to where my family lived that are literally being bombed for no fucking reason, kind of made me not a huge fan.
Not so exactly. No reason.
Yeah, sorry, oil. Sorry, my bad, oil.
It's oil.
Yeah, I don't know. That's all I'll really say about that. But yeah, I've definitely happy to be where I am and not there.
I would honestly prefer to be in Canada if I had a choice. If I wasn't so against like living far away from my family and stuff, I'd probably live in Canada.
No.
The last like 4 or 5 years has really made me realize how like fucked our country is.
The only thing that I have ever had to complain about Canada, and again, as I educated myself on it, I have learned is kind of a
tax.
Extremely selfish thing to, you know, be mad about is, yeah, taxes. Personal income tax, especially in Ontario, is like, it's fucking insane. It is a lot. But I mean, if someone like me who is making more than enough to live for, you know, extended period of time has to pay a bit more taxes so a mom raising 2 kids can go take her kid to the doctor without getting a $50,000 charge, to me that seems okay, and I'll definitely take a tax hit for that, if that makes sense. I don't know.
See, I can kind of agree with that, because I'm almost paying the same amount of taxes as you. I live in California, and our state tax is like 13%.
Well, that's the thing. Our threshold is low. Like, for... I'm at like 52% right now, which actually might be the highest. But our threshold for that is a lot lower than yours. Like, what's California for 52% taxes? That's probably like over a half a mil at least. Canada, it's only like 200,000.
Oh, yeah, true.
So that's kind of the issue with that. And then there, it's like you're paying the 52%, but what the fuck are you even paying for? Like, it's not going
to... California is like the Canada of America.
To an extent, yeah, but I mean, the healthcare there is still nowhere fucking near what it's like here.
But we're like the most like welfare friendly, and like, you know, that's why we have like a high percentage of homeless.
That's what the taxes go to.
Yeah, I know.
That's what your taxes are going towards.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I was saying that for Blarg, because Blarg was like, "What are your taxes going to?"
Yeah, I don't know too much about healthcare
and stuff too.
Yeah, ours, yes, but. I don't know. There's positive negatives with every single country that you can find. So I'm not about to shit on one and say that this one's perfect or anything.
Why does the older I get, the more I realize that this country here is just
Like, the older I get, the less of a shit I give. I'm like, I'm going to die in like, what, 50, 60 years?
Yeah.
I don't care. I just want to make videos and have fun and die. I just want to pass away.
Yeah. That's the benefit is we can do our job. Like, our jobs aren't affected by the outside world.
I want to entertain people and pass away. That's all, two things. Entertain, pass away.
Do you want to pass away? That? Do you want to pass away on camera, like for the views, like in the middle of a video?
I would be totally okay. I would be totally, totally okay dying on stream. If I die on stream, make all the fucked up memes. Make all the fucked up memes you can imagine out of it. I have a green screen behind me. Dude, take my fucking corpse falling over in the chair.
Make some compilations.
Put it in everything, please. It would be hilarious.
Soup, there was one time where I was genuinely concerned if you just went and passed away when you were like, oh man, there's a lot of noises outside. Like when the hurricane was over, you're like, I'm gonna go check on it. There was a hurricane right over your house, and you like, I could hear you leave, open the door, and then you just disconnected from Discord. We thought you just got like swept away.
The house gets sucked into the hurricane.
Yeah.
It's just gone. I would like to be clickbait dying as well. That'd be a good time.
Oh, yeah. I want to die on Omegle. I want my corpse to slump over in the chair.
That's how you do a face reveal.
Just dead.
So are you going to play a song? He's just fucking dead on the floor.
Hey, play my song.
It's just feedback.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, what a good way to go.
Can I have your squire if you die? Just because I like want to auction
it.
I want to auction it off. Yeah, your first squire.
Oh,
I'm gonna auction it.
I'll take the Hello Kitty one.
Stevie Ray Vaughan's Stratocaster, probably worth about as much.
Yeah, except
you gotta leave us all one guitar. You gotta leave us all one guitar so we can auction it off.
I'll take the 7 string.
I call Ebonus.
No,
oh, there we go.
Bury me with the squire. Fuck all of y'all.
I'm gonna fucking grave rob that squire. I'm gonna find out where you're buried.
I'm gonna grave rob Dew's pants, and that's it.
What?
Sell Dew jeans.
Oh,
I'm gonna dig up your fucking body and look at your pecker because I'm so curious, and then just put you
my
back
rotting pecker.
You could probably just ask him for a Snapchat right now.
Oh, I'll send you my dick.
No.
Oh.
No, it's fine.
Oh.
Does the guy have any other questions?
Yeah, no, there's actually some gaming related questions which are kind of
Togger.
So this is a question. This is a pretty good question here. What makes games such as League of Legends, RuneScape, CSGO, GTA, and Minecraft timeless? What is the common denominator giving them success for so long?
Nostalgia.
Fun. They're actually fun to play. Imagine that. A company makes a fun video game.
For me, personally, the way that I see it is simplicity. Especially in situations like CSGO. CSGO is literally the most simple FPS game you can play. You just have a gun. You got some bugs to make.
So much then.
That's it. Well, because I mean, like, the hardest part about CS:GO is learning I'm talking about
Nasty,
a core
game.
Can I
add on to that? Because I get what you're saying.
Yeah, add on to it.
Where
please.
It's like a game like that is like silver or unranked is extremely beginner friendly. A game like Counter-Strike, and I think because of how satisfying, I mean, maybe not anymore with how the ranks have turned out in CS, but and because of how old it is, everyone's a fucking pro. But because you can start off and it's just such a satisfying like progression of learning the game and slowly like climbing the ranks as you learn like, oh, this spot, you know, is a wall banger. Here's how you get perfect accuracy, like whatever, shooting or jumping and shit. Like those, all those games can be pretty easy to get into. And then once you're in, like it hooks you on the progression. So they're super simple, like McNasty said, but underneath of that layer of simple, it's like an extremely difficult tactical game that you have
like
to learn.
With GTA, dude, I mean, just the shit that's in the game.
Oh, okay, maybe not GTA.
Ridiculous. Well, I mean, they're different like genres of games, so you can't really compare them.
Yeah.
But like, a game like that, I guess what makes it good is like, there's a simple answer to like a common question. Because you don't really, like, if you're starting a new game and you don't know how to play it, like, figuring, like, an easy way to figure out things makes a better game overall in my opinion.
Beginner friendly.
When there's Matt was saying, when there's an easy way to play the game, but there's also a way where you can continuously learn to be an expert at that game, I feel like that's what makes a perfect game.
Yeah, I agree.
Because
with that.
If you're just a complete fucking brain dead idiot and you just can't learn how to play games, you can still have fun on that game because it has such a simple way to play to where you can still be satisfied simple with it.
Right.
You know, not everybody wants to play a game to be the best. Sometimes you just want to play, like me, I play Minecraft because it's kind of just like a, it's kind of just something I play where I don't really need to be a fucking pro at it. I kind of just play it to get away. And, you know, the same thing with like GTA. People play GTA. Nobody's a fucking pro at GTA.
Yeah.
Like, it's just stuff to play that's simple and it's fun and, you know, you can interact with other people. And
yeah.
Well, a lot of it is too, is that like you can almost create your own game inside of the game.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like with GTA, you can do so many different types of things. Like you can do the role play thing. You can have like the racing kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
You can do like the shooting kind of thing. Like there's so many different ways to go about having fun in it. Same with Minecraft, even though it's fucking cancer. Like there's so many different things you can like go about doing in it.
Yeah. Even RuneScape. You can literally sit and chop a tree for 5 months if you want to.
RuneScape's big draw, I think, for a lot of people is the nostalgia element, too. I mean, that is for me, too. Like, there was a lot of things on RuneScape that I never got as a kid that, like, I want to get now and as an adult and stuff like that. People say you never truly quit RuneScape. You kind of just take extended breaks. You know, you kind of play that game for life.
That is a sad life.
I think it all boils down to...
Fuck yourself, Blog.
What it boils down to is fun. It's fun,
dude. Yes, it is fun.
That's what makes a game fun. Yeah. Like, so many of these AAA companies shit out fucking dog-ass games for quick money, and then they put, like, money into the game, like, where you can buy all this shit, dude. And, like, as much as I really don't like Fortnite...
It's like Call of Duty, really.
Well, Fortnite does the same... Call of Duty does the same thing. But, like, Fortnite really made free-to-play, like, a big thing. Like, free-to-play games weren't really all that common until Fortnite did it. And then they banked off of, like, the in-game purchases, which I would rather it be that way. Like, why not make all games free-to-play and fun and then the option of spending money if you
want? Well, that's free-to-play can also be the exact opposite. It can be fucking horrible because there's games like... the one that comes to mind for me the fastest is like a game like fucking Maple Story that's free to play, but unless you spend $5,000, like you can't fucking play it on like microtransactions.
Let those games have a natural selection of being weeded out and dog shit.
Yeah,
like that's the thing. No, like, I know. At least you haven't wasted money on it.
I'm saying Fortnite did a good job. Is they did the perfect way to do free to play and then just put money and time into making your cosmetics, and you will make fucking billions. It was a fun game. Yeah, it's a genuinely good game.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Fortnite when it first like came out. Well, not when it first came out, when like the first initial blow up.
Yeah.
And then once they started, like, Fortnite really made it a known fact that they did not give a fuck about pro players. They wanted to structure their game based off of how much kids they can get to buy skins. And they
been
riding off of that ever since.
Yeah.
And that's kind of
Any skill based matchmaking implemented
in
Because I think there was like a big issue with that, wasn't there? Like, because a lot of new players, like even me, like I would want to play it for fun and I would just get fucking dicked on.
Yeah.
That's like the thing. Their
skill based matchmaking
cracked out fuck.
Did nothing unless you were like decent at the game, and then it just put you with every pro ever. There was like two levels of like, Either you were just dog shit, or not even that. It was either like you're semi pro and a noob, or you're a literal pro and like just slightly above semi pro. Like it's just I don't know. They only had like two groups, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I feel like a game like that though, it would be hard to kind of judge what your skill is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
because I guess really you can only base it off of the kills you get, but at the same time, dude, like somebody can fucking build insane and get 20 kills, but like they're still way better than someone who's just running around on the ground getting 20 kills.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean? Yeah. So it's like hard to kind of balance it.
Yeah.
They can't just be like, oh yeah, this guy placed down 500,000 fucking wooden walls. He's a pro. Let's put him in this skill.
Yeah. I don't know how they did it. We're probably all fucking stupid right now.
Dude, I haven't played that game in like four fucking years, so I can't even tell you.
Yeah. I edited Fortnite for like 2 years straight as a full-time job, so I feel like I at least somewhat know what's going on.
Okay, that's fair then.
Yeah. Fucking, I probably only have like 10 hours played in that game total, but like hundreds of hours of editing it. It's just, I do not miss that phase of YouTube that was nothing but Fortnite. Do they have another question, or do you want to wrap it up there?
We can do one more.
Okay.
Let me see here. I feel like we kind of already know this question, but I feel like we can kind of embellish off of it. What makes some gaming creators better than others? Is it a matter of being good at the game, or a matter of being a good entertainer, or both?
Oh, it
both
definitely depends on the person.
I was gonna say, I don't even want to say both, because I think it depends what you do.
People go for different types of channels.
Yeah. It depends on your audience.
Like, if you look at, like, in the Rainbow Six Siege realm, if you look at us, terrible at the game, really good entertainers. But then there's people like Marley, who, not the most entertaining, but he's fucking god at the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, he constantly gets, like, one taps and all his shit, and people,
well,
you
know, he gets 2-3 million
views a video.
I don't know if that's a good comparison, because his videos are entertaining.
Yeah, he does have...
He's not somewhat entertaining. Like, he is, like, an actual entertaining, like, YouTuber.
Yeah, but I'm saying it because, like, the base of his videos are about him getting,
it's more,
like,
about
the
gameplay rather than the conversation, is what he's trying to say.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, like, it's not even necessarily that. Like, I feel like there are strictly people who upload just gameplay-based content, and they have great careers.
Yeah, but those are usually people who are pros in the scene, and they're not necessarily gaming creators. They're just pros that are uploading clips.
Here's the thing. You just need one of those three things. You can either be one, the other, or in between.
Or both.
Yeah, I think that's it. Like, I don't think you need a mixture of either of them, or, like, there is a niche, there is a market for any of those things. It's just, you just have to get your way into that. I don't think there's one that works better than, you know, any
and if
other.
You suck and you're not entertaining, then just fucking become an accountant or something.
Yeah, try music or something. I don't know.
All right. Yeah. Well, I mean, that was, I think we're done.
All right. Good job, boys.
Pretty much answered all the questions on this list.
Wow, that's good. I'm surprised.
There's a couple I missed, but, you know, I'm going to sit here for another 2 or 3 hours. Rainy day questions.
Rainy Greg.
Thanks for the questions, Mr. Man.
Yeah, send us more questions, people.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't have to be
that educational or that high level of
less syllables,
intelligence arenas.
Mm-hmm. Write it as though...
Fuck you for being smart.
Write them for a third grader. Pretend we were third graders.
Yeah, pretend. Pretend we're third graders. Okay, Soup, you want to do the outro?
Please like the video and comment something funny. And also, you know what I'm saying? Go to Spotify and download it on Spotify.
Y'all crush it. Y'all crush it over on Spotify.
Keep crushing it.
Smash that like button with your fucking elbow. Unless you don't have arms, then you're fucking disabled. Die. All right. Thanks for listening.
Alrighty then. Here's podcast outro.
Why are smart businesses graduating to NetSuite by Oracle? Because NetSuite eliminates the expense of multiple business systems by consolidating your operations together into one. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. NetSuite reduces IT costs because it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost and headaches of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. Bringing all your major business processes into one platform improves efficiency, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. You'll see how you'll profit with NetSuite too. And now, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just go to netsuite.com/podcast25 for more information. That's netsuite.com/podcast25.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.